welcome to peering into the fallacy of developmental altitude, which is kind of a big thing to propose, right? But I just want to stimulate your curiosity. So partner up with two or three other people around you and just speculate, just start to explore how could this idea of developmental altitudes be a fallacy? And how might it take us off course? There's obviously some deep truth to it, right? But there's also a deep, deep fallacy here that isn't really explored often in these contexts. So I'm going to give you about 7 minutes just to talk to each other and explore what might be it, okay? So you have about 2 minutes each. Okay. Okay, yeah. Okay, easy down, Roger. I know that last example. The sexual energy is flowing, my friend. Okay, so the question is, if developmental altitude is a fallacy, what might be the fallacy? What's wrong, right? Does that make sense? So I apologize. This is an example of really bad facilitation, like ask really nebulous questions. So the idea of developmental altitudes, is everybody familiar with that concept? Okay, so let me back up. Lovely. Okay, so what I'll offer about developmental altitudes, okay, is that it starts to presuppose and suggest that there are static stages of development that exist in kind of an enduring way. Now that, from my perspective, that's all right, that's cool, right? In terms of a map, a landscape, that's fine, right? But as soon as that map starts to interface with your humanity, and then how you situate your humanity into a particular stage of development, we run into some very big problems. But this idea that we have this static mental location, like I'm in this stage or you are at that stage, right? Is anybody familiar with that kind of meaning making? If you could raise your hand if that's kind of passed through your attention. Okay, cool. Awesome. And that's a fine starting place and a deep place to be curious about development. But my basic disposition is that we need to go one step further. Right? We need to get more curious and more open about the humanity that we're relating to and relating from. So instead of you guys diving into small group discussion, we'll do some more of that later in my afternoon session. The fallacy, and in particular, the name of the fallacy, and you've probably never heard of it, is the structure-form fallacy. The structure-form fallacy. And I'm essentially just giving you really fancy ways to argue so you can just kind of take it in and put it in your arsenal or let it kind of wash through you. But the structure-form fallacy is that our minds are seduced into the idea that we are more of a solid, fixed self. Anybody familiar with that idea? And psychology has been proposing and formulating ideas of mental stages, mental processes, personality structures that are kind of stable and durable. And again, this is all fine as a starter appetizer, right? But we need to go that one step further so that the structure of who we are is dynamic. Big term that I'm going to offer is dynamic structuralism. So that the structure of who you are is dynamic and changing and active every moment if you're alive. And that there's fluctuation, there's dynamism, there's change, there's aliveness, there's range in your humanity and in the humanity of the people that you're relating to. But when we start to categorize people and place them in a particular developmental location, we can get into some serious problems. Because these are deep, deep biases. And then, of course, as our mastery and expertise with development deepens, we start placing human beings in a massive cognitive trap. It's like a cage that we place ourselves into terms of how we should be aspiring, how we should be trying to grow, what's good for our partner, right? Our spouses, boyfriends, girlfriends, right? The people, our coworkers, definitely our bosses. We can kind of like, we kind of have a developmental agenda for them, right? Maybe a little, just a few of you, right? And I really want to emphasize that it's the solidification in our concepts that narrows your aliveness. And adults just live in that way all too often, right? And what is painful for me and what's devastating to my heart is to see developmental theory and developmental rigor, which is like gorgeous, and I absolutely love it. And when we start to cage our humanity into those framings, that's a problem. And this invitation is to be curious and to start to peer into the dynamism that human beings are. The mystery of who we can become in this next moment together. And that this constant trying to put ourselves into the known contours might not be the best move. It might be great, certainly for earlier stages of development, but when we get into these deeper contours of maturity, we need to deepen our curiosity, expand the mystery. And for me, there's a risk involved. And it's knowing and not knowing it at the root of it. Like, can I relate to my clients, you as a room? Can I situate you into some kind of known landscape or map? Or do I have the courage to step out into the unknown of both who I am and who you are? And that development is a dynamic process that is in some ways fundamental to our aliveness. really appreciate your attention right now. So take a breath. That was 10 minutes. You guys are amazing. I want to see if there's some questions before I change gears, or what's landing. So either one, what's landing and feels significant? Or two, what's the inquiry that you can locate that's really significant in your body? And let's just surf for just a couple minutes, and then I'll kind of shift gears on another layer of altitude. So what's present? Yeah.
Could you make it more concrete?
Thank you. Cool. Right. So, to situate somebody in second tier, this kind of yellow band, or maybe it's a higher one, right? What happens when you situate yourself there or somebody else? What do you do? What are the things that you start to notice and assume? Anybody? Yeah, Doshin, just...
You separate?
Say more.
So if you think you're here and they're there, you just might be a separation.
Can you guys all hear? Okay, great.
For the recording, if it's longer, then we need...
Gotcha. So we will pass the mic because of the recording. So Doshin said we separate. There's me over here and there's you over there. Yeah, great. We create dualism. Great. Yeah.
Just add to that you start playing the role of the stage that you're in, or you put somebody else in.
So I hear that when you put somebody else in a stage, then you put your kind of role on that matches and meets that. Yeah. And there's a real deep beauty to that, really deep beauty to that. And can you guys see how it's limited? Yeah. Okay. Terry.
I was just going to say, you start expecting those attributes in that person, and you don't see the others that are there, but you're focused.
Okay, so is this putting a little bit of flesh on the bone, so to speak? Yeah, and so when we do that, we're narrowing our range, perhaps. We're limiting what we can perceive in the other. Right? And so aliveness starts to kind of get narrowed into this more kind of known box. And there might be situations where that's deeply skillful, totally needed, and really appropriate. So that works. But I'm really curious about us exploring outside of that. So it's fine to be in this and to kind of play out this fallacy in some contexts, as long as we don't stay in it, so that we can expand and diversify our own humanity, right? Yeah, so back of the room.
Thank you.
So if there is the risk to box the other person, there is also the risk to box ourselves in a determinate tire, which also makes us feel superior towards the other person. And therefore, we miss all sorts of information, not just about the other person, but also about our own experience.
Yeah, so hierarchy, superiority. Yeah, totally.
You said about deepen your curiosity. So I'm curious about in what kind of deepen is this deepen of curiosity, and in which way do I deepen the curiosity?
Okay, great question. So I'll just offer my own example, because fundamentally I don't know. But I trust it. I really trust the curiosity that you're living right now. So when I'm coaching and Rob has a presumption of knowing who Rob is, now my client has to deal with their own challenges to change, and they've got a coach who doesn't want to change too. So it kind of layers on top of their change process, me that wants to be kind of this static, masculine, really competent and masterful person that like has his shit together. And there's plenty of context where that's fine, but I find that more value is created when my curiosity takes me into not knowing who is Rob. You guys actually got to experience a little bit of it today. Like, I didn't quite know what I was going to do with these guys on stage. And certainly I had no idea how they were going to respond, right? And yet, how do we leap into the unknown of who we are to discover ourselves through other? Does that land for you? Yeah. And so it's the in-betweenness that I often point to. The in-betweenness that, like, levels of complexity don't exist in, like, you, and you just are carrying them around. In fact, levels of complexity don't even exist in somebody. They belong to the cultural and environmental surrounds, as well as the historicity of the past, as well as the potentiality of the future. And so complexity is distributed in through reality, and that we participate in varying degrees in astonishing ways that are just alive. They're alive. And it's about following aliveness for me. It's about following aliveness. And wherever complexity goes, and just to connect to the second piece around this fallacy, which is altitude presupposes up and out, is hierarchically better. And we overstep the immense ingenuity of fallbacks, regressions, massive dramatic fluctuations in complexity, because that's how we learn and develop. So going back and stepping into unlived contours of ourselves might be deeply good for our well-being, might be necessary for the planet, might be necessary for us as a community. So this is a little bit of a taste, and just because I have 2 minutes, I really appreciate the quality of your attention. Take a deep breath. Lengthen the exhale. I want to inspire and invite us to have the courage to explore different models. And maybe even not even explore different models, but to encounter our humanity in ever more naked, creative, and foolish ways. Because our intoxication with seriousness and ascension and transcendence is all deeply good, true, and beautiful to a fucking point. And then, going back to our metaphor from water, so collectively right now, we're at a water park, right? And we've been riding like the slides all afternoon, and everybody's like, this one's awesome, and this one's awesome. And there's one slide that when you go off and you ride it down, you never come back. And that's this moment. It's every moment. All right, so if you want more, come on back. What time are we, Tenny? 3:30, the next room over. I give you to the very sexy and capable and exquisite Jorge.